Well, we are going to look forward very, very, very much to returning to youth worship as soon as we can plan for it. And because of the government restrictions, my suggestion is to, we do what would be wise in our understanding. And vaccination seems to be something that we must give serious thought to, and I think that will also enable us all together for worship. I think this is something that I think we all miss it terribly, and I would rather speak to you when I can see you rather than just do online. But this cannot be helped at this moment, but we're going to try and see how we can improve the status, as it were. Today we are going to take a look at a phrase in Genesis 21. And I hope that this is something that we would learn to appreciate very much. And we will go a little bit more into the study of this particular phrase in Genesis 21. But let's again seek the Lord for His wisdom, for His grace to comprehend His word. Our Father, we thank You for every opportunity to worship, to learn, to grow a little bit more, whether it is online or live. And Father, You know our hearts, that we love You and we desire very much to come back for actual on-site worship. We pray that You will help us to do our part, and we pray that You will teach us wisdom, discipline, and whatever else we may need to learn to practice so that we can stay healthy and we would not become a source of problem for other people. And so we pray that You would teach us how to be concerned about others as we ponder how this pandemic is affecting so many people, not only in our country, but all over the world. Help us to recognize it for what it is, that it is dangerous and it can take away life. Help us to comprehend this and to take necessary measures to live as we were meant to. Pray for Your blessings upon us as we read Your word and understand Your word a little bit better today. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we turn to Genesis 21 and we want to again here appreciate the lessons we have learned thus far. I think this is important, right? Now, there's no question about the fact that Abram, and then later on Abraham, whatever stage of his life may be, Abram's stage, Abraham's stage, faith has to be learned. And faith has to be carefully cultivated, and it has got to be carefully understood in order for it to become meaningful and of significance in our life. But when we speak of faith, what do we speak about? Well, I think we have to look at how the Word of God has got to become the focus of our faith. The chances of our having three visitors from heaven, not very high. If we are going to think and have a dream and a vision and a smoking oven coming to us, is also not very high. So what do we have when we don't have these things that were specially done for Abraham? Well, we are actually not worse off. We have every reason to be happy, to rejoice, when we have the Word of God to read, to understand, to fathom, and to have faith in. That is our focus today. Faith in the Word of God is in the Word of God as a promise. And in a promise, there must be a fulfillment. If there is a promise without a fulfillment, it's not going to go very far. It's not going to mean very, very much. The lessons to learn of how to believe, to wait upon the Lord, it's not something that is just restricted to Abraham and to Sarah. In fact, we are all subjected to the same thing. That is a word, that is a word of promise, that is a hope generated, and we wait for it to be fulfilled. It's actually the same. It is a pattern as we understand this. Right? But as we try to understand and practice our faith, obviously we look at difficulties and challenges. One difficulty could be fear, and we know that Abraham could not overcome his fears easily. So whether it was in Egypt or whether it's in Gerar, he had difficulties fighting, overcoming his fears. Then, of course, there will be a faith that sometimes falters, a faith that fluctuates almost. So there are moments when that faith seems to be very high, but there are also moments where the faith is faltering and is fluctuating, it's going down. And then, of course, there would be human errors. And all these things combined together, they will create what we call setbacks. And I think those things are obvious. But the one wonderful thing that we can fall back on is this word that we know that we have discovered along the way. We have a wonderfully gracious God. We have a God of great mercy. If there is one word that I would like to describe God in his relationship to Abraham, it would be the word mercy. God showed him mercy for years on end. Mistakes were made, sins were committed, and the Lord continued to show mercy and grace to him. God is patient, he is understanding, he is kind. All these are attributes of God that Abraham discovered for himself in a very personal and practical way. Well, today we're going to look at Genesis 21, and we come across this phrase, which is absolutely beautiful, and is simply, as he had said. And that's the title of what we're going to focus on today, as he had said. Now, let's look at this. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Right? Well, let's take a look at what we read about. Okay? So, in chapter 18, for example, the Lord and the two angels came to visit with Abraham. And, of course, the Lord spoke to Abraham and to Sarah, and promised them a son called Isaac. And, of course, Sarah had difficulty in understanding this. And the Lord said, nevertheless, it's going to happen. And then in chapter 18, verse 14, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he went on further to say, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, in chapter 21, of course, a lot happened between chapter 18 and chapter 21. Right? We know the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah took place, number one, chapter 19. And then, of course, in chapter 20, what happened was that Abraham went to Gerar and he got into trouble there with Abimelech, the king of this area here. This is earlier place where, in time to come, the Philistines would stay around here. But in chapter 21, we read, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. That's important. But the Lord said he's going to see them. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. Right? And then we read here And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Now, there are two ways in which we can actually understand this phrase. One, there was an actual physical visit, but we have no particular record of this visit. Two, it could be simply the fulfillment of what God had said, and it would be its equivalent. Right? So if the Lord had said, at a point in time I will return to you, it can be a literal idea, or it simply could be the fulfillment of the idea. This is what it means. So what are the lessons God wanted Abraham to and Sarah to learn? One, and this is something for us to learn as well, whatever God has said and promised, you can be sure it will come to pass. That is the intended lesson. And we ask ourselves, what else? Well, the Lord wants us to ask ourselves this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. So every time God fulfills a promise that he has made, be sure that this is something that we must learn and relearn again. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Whatever God has said and promised, he will actually fulfill. I think that is important. So when we look at a promise, we look also at fulfillment. There was a promise of a son. Right? Now, it is important. That must be a son if suddenly a non-Isaac comes in. All right? So suddenly you have Isaka coming in. Then we have a problem. Because God did not fulfill what he had said. Right? And of course, if you look at signs, they will tell you that it can go either way. Male or female, you don't know. But God has promised a son, and it would be a son. It would be Isaac. You may laugh, you may not believe it, but it will happen, just as God had said. Now that is absolutely important for us to understand. So in Genesis 21, 1, A and B, we read this very, very clearly. As he had said. And the word here is, the key word here is the word as. Right? As he had said. And then the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Now, again here, the key word is the word as. Right? So the punchline here would be not just out of the blue, but as he had said, so it is done. As he had so spoken, so it is also done. Now that is a thing that we need to really, really look at. Now you almost have to ask yourself, how did this miracle actually take place? What would God have to do? Right? Now think about this. Now in the world today, literally billions are spent, not only by women, to be honest, but also by men. And there will be always the promise. Have you lost your hair? You can have your hair restored. Have you got wrinkles? We can do away with the wrinkles. The idea here is to be rejuvenated. And it's important. Because it is really true that in order to give birth to a child, the body, the Lord has to rejuvenate it. There's no other way. It's going to take a lot of power, but that is exactly what God has. Right? So think about this thing. Then there's also the problem of, even if you rejuvenate, you still have the problem of barrenness. How do you overcome the problem of being barren today? Well, very frankly, it's a very expensive program, and you have all kinds of medical treatment, and then it's no guarantee that you will actually have a child. Now, God's kind of clinic is the best kind. It will take divine power, it will be natural, it will take promise and fulfillment, and it exactly happened. Right? So you must understand that as you try and think about how Sarah is what she is. Now, remember, she was at Gerar not so long ago. Would the king of Gerar there have chosen a very, very old lady, crippled, humble, hunchback, wrinkles, looking like a great-grandmother? She was at that age to be such. Not likely. Right? So you can imagine, right, late age, beyond the age of childbearing, and she was about 10 years difference. So if you are looking at Abraham, 100 years old when Isaac was born, you are looking at a 90-year-old lady. Well, when God restores somebody, it's going to take power. Can there be rejuvenation? Can there be taking away of barrenness? This is going to take nothing short of the power of God to create this, obviously. Now remember, when God said something, you have to ask yourself, is anything too hard for the Lord? Two, you have to ask yourself again, do I have faith that what God has said, He will actually fulfill? So when we see the word as He has said, as He has spoken, then we must understand that one, there is power of God at work. Two, God will personally see it through. Three, God's presence would be there. Now the presence of God can be either literal or He can make His presence felt one way or another. And that is how it took place. Right? So the Lord visited as He had said He would, and His presence was obviously felt. And this is something that we need to appreciate. Right? And so we read of how Abraham conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Right? And then we read the phrase, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Again, here we are reminded, right, that it is as He had said, as He had spoken, repeat phrase, which God had spoken to him. See, this is something that we all need to learn. This is something that we really want to learn with all our heart. What has God really said? And then we ask ourselves, do I believe what God has said? And then to go on further, do I believe that it will be fulfilled as God has said, as God had spoken? And you will find that many of us will actually struggle. Take for example, as He has said. Right? So this is what God has said. Now, have we taken the trouble to remember what He has said? Most of us don't. Many of us just assume that's what is meant. You cannot assume what is meant. Right? So if we really want God's word to be fulfilled as we hope it would be, I think we should take steps to ask ourselves, one, what has God said? Now, this is what I do. What has God said? One. Two, I want to know where God said it. To whom God said in the first place. And ask myself, does this apply to me? Because if I were to not understand it, not appreciate it, apply it wrongly, God is not obliged to fulfill what He has not said, what He has not spoken, what He has not meant. I think this is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. Right? So here is a situation. God knew that it was a very hard thing for Abraham and Sarah to believe in. And so Sarah came up with a suggestion. Why don't you take Hagar as a second wife? The child would be born, and guess what? The child would be ours, would be mine, as it were. But when Ishmael was born, there was a big problem between Hagar and Sarah. And that created a lot of difficulty for the whole family. Why? Because we still haven't fathomed what God had said, what God has spoken. We still haven't factored in what is the level of faith we actually have when God said what He did, spoke what He did. Now, this is something we need to look at very carefully. God's power is there, no question about it. His power will be obvious, it will be significant, it will be personal, no question. The problem is not with God, the problem is with us, because we don't really understand that word that is promised. So we can have a misread word, mistaken word of promise, and we assume that that's what it is. But if it is not, then we have a problem on our hands. Also, sometimes what God says, it's not a straightforward and easy thing to comprehend. And our part, we'll have to struggle. Right? So for example, this part of it is very obvious. Now, we read in Genesis 18:11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, one, well advanced in age, two. And three, Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Genesis 18:11. So we are looking at difficulties. One, age, two, old, similar idea, three, past the age, to highlight the difficulty. Literally, it's next to impossible. And yet, what does God mean when He gives us words like that? It is so that we can look at our faith, examine it, and apply it, stretch it, strengthen it. But if the words are easy, what is the challenge? It's not going to go very far at all. Genesis 17, going back further. Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Genesis 17:17. Well, you see, Abraham really struggled with this. Right? I mean, you can understand. Faith is not an easy thing to obtain. Let's face it. It's not an easy thing to cultivate. We will find obstacles, hurdles, difficulties along the way. And the challenge always would be, do I have faith to really believe? Do I have faith to believe that God will fulfill as He has said, as He has spoken? And then we read 17:19, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And now 21:5, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Right? Can you see this? So there are lessons for us that we must learn and learn carefully. What is that? The lessons that I would learn would be, let me recall what God has said actually. Now, this is absolutely important, right? Because if my faith cannot even remember, recall what God has said exactly. Is that faith? Is that the kind of faith God wants us to have? I can say I believe, but I really don't know what I believe in. I cannot clearly pinpoint and say, you know, this is what I believe in. I believe I may be 100 years old, my wife 90 years old, we will have a son as God has said, as God has spoken. Literally, right up to now, it hasn't happened. Now, we are looking over here at recalling what God had said. But all the time, what God had said did not feature very much. That is the problem of our lack of faith. Right? So if you really want to talk about having faith in God, this is important. How do we find this to be real and practical? Well, especially when you are much younger. And I think your biggest problem is not the same kind of problem that Abraham and Sarah had. I think your biggest problem is simply your school. How can I do well? How can I ask God to help me? Now, the question now you have to ask yourself is, do you believe? And if you were to believe, now I will ask you next, what exactly do you believe? And this is something that we have to ask ourselves very, very honestly. What is it that we really, really can believe in? Now, details are not unimportant. Right? Now, this is important for us. This year, we celebrate Bethany's 40 plus 8 anniversary. Now, I can still remember some, you know, 50 years ago when the thought of beginning Bethany started. So, remember, I began before Bethany began. Obviously. Right? Now, I ask myself, do I have the faith? Do I have the faith that I can succeed as a pastor? Do I have a faith that God will help me to preach Sunday after Sunday, increase knowledge, increase faith, grow the church, make it significant? Now, you have to ask myself, do I really believe that? And it's not straightforward. It really, really is not straightforward. After the first year, well, we began with about 20, 25 people. After the first year, if there were 50 people regularly attending church, I was happy. Just 50. Right? It would take many more years before we are literally bursting at the seams. And it would take many more years before we branch out into other countries. Well, these were challenges, but always key would be what God has said in His Word. Right? So what did I have in mind? Well, I had in mind the church, firstly at Jerusalem. What kind of church we want to be? The kind of church we read about in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. A caring church, a praying church, a faithful church, a fruitful church. That's what it is. And then a model change many years later. So my next model was now the Antiochian church in Syria. It was now a missions-going church. It was reaching out to other countries. And I followed the Apostle Paul as a clear example. I want to read everything he has written. I want to master everything that he has written. I want to walk in his footsteps, including travel all over the place where I can make it. And deep down, I had to ask myself, do I have this faith? Is there something specific that I can fall back on and I say, this is what I believe in? And then doggedly, determinedly, hold fast to this faith. Thank God for His grace, for His mercy. 48 years later, we see how God would bless as He has said, as He has spoken. Now, I want to challenge you to consider this very much in your own life too. Right? What can you attempt and achieve in time to come? Now, that is important. It will require faith. It will require an ability to see beyond your struggles and your difficulties. It will require faith to recall what God has said. It will require faith to be refreshed as we see God fulfilling what He has said. Is it possible? Is it relevant to us today? Very much. And I think that we are still at that stage where we are struggling with our faith, where we are struggling with our fears, struggling with our doubts, or struggling with one moment high, next moment not so high. And I think we need to ask ourselves what we need to develop further as we think in terms of faith growing. Well, the fact is now there. Promise fulfilled, as He had said, as He has spoken, just as God had spoken. And that is very obvious. Now, is there something else beyond this? Oh, absolutely. Right? Now, another question is, after all is said and done, and all is done after it has been said, what's next? Well, we have a response. And response is just as important because response is a part of faith and its extension. If my faith only stopped at God has said, God has spoken, rejoice, amen, then Isaac is not going to grow very far. It's birth of a new baby. That's important. What's going to happen next? This baby has got to grow. A baby needs a name. Right? This is absolutely important. So, names are kind of very, very, very obvious. And names are good names. Well, there's some things that we need to take a look at. What is it that we want to consider? You know, the Jewish people, they take names quite seriously. They take names, and of course, we are like them in this way. We like to choose the best of names. But the Jews are a little bit more candid. Right? They really, really are a little bit more candid. Well, let's take, for example, 16th July. To us, 16th July is just another date. But to the Jews out there, 16th July is not just another date. 16th July is the date the rabbi said, the day when Israel refused to go into Canaan. This was the day, 16th July. 16th July was also the day when the first temple fell. The Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem. AD 70, 16th July, the second temple was also destroyed. Right? And so they tell this story on this day all the time, till today. And they call this the most accursed day of the whole calendar year. And they will preach, when rabbis will preach on this particular day, there's a day never to be forgotten. And so they tell stories about how, why it happened. And one of the stories that is told as to why it happened was between a father and a son who had a quarrel. And the son went out to tell the Romans that Jerusalem should be destroyed because it's rebellious, it's evil. The Romans heard and then came in and to destroy it. Now that is a story that is told. Right? So it's called Kamza Bakamza. It's it's a story that is told of a father and a son conflict. And the word that is preached on 16 July is, let us be sure that we don't have conflicts. Otherwise, worse things will come on this day. And so, till today, this date is always remembered. And it's a very, very auspicious, or rather inauspicious day for the Jewish people on this particular time, at this particular time, on this particular date. Well, there was a time when God said to Abraham, you will have a son, and you will call, he will have a son, and Abraham laughed. And then God said to Sarah, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed. And the word for laughter is the word Isaac. And so they actually candidly remember this. Rather than to have the wonderfully, everybody wants to have a wonderful name. But actually, if you take a look at all the names of the 12 tribes, everyone has a contextual idea behind it. Every child has a context behind it. And you want to watch out. So Isaac had a context behind it. It was a laughter of unbelief. And so every time they call Isaac, of course they're happy, but it will remind them of a time when unbelief was there. You see, they're not afraid of looking back in the past and say, you know, I had unbelief at this point of time. And Isaac will always remind them of the fact that there was a time of unbelief and they must get away from that period of time of unbelief to faith. Well, Genesis 17, 19, the Lord said, and you shall call his name Isaac. But this time here, it was in fulfillment. We read, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. But this time, it was a different meaning. Right? In verse 6, for example, we read, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Now, so laughter now has a different meaning. So original laughter, unbelief. Now that a child has been born, a son has been given, it is no longer a laughter of unbelief. It is a laughter that came from God. So the Jews are very, very, very candid about things like that, right? So it's not a nicety. It was now, this name was now given to reflect, one, I have learned my lesson. Once I laughed because of unbelief. And now it's a different thing altogether. So this name of Isaac would now be a reminder. See, most of us prefer not to be reminded. We prefer not to think of our bad days. We prefer to think of the fact that it's going to be the past. Well, I think the best thing to do is to remember things as candidly as we can. Was there a time of unbelief? Don't feel bad about it. It has been confessed, it's been forgiven, learn from it, rather than to entirely forget about it. That is candid memory, which is actually good. Because now it's a laughter of a different kind. It does not have to be a bitter laughter. It doesn't have to be an unbelieving laughter. It does not have to be a defeated laughter. It just simply can be a laughter, a joy that God has given. Is that possible? Very much. Well, so that is name giving. Now, this is important for us. Right? So now, what's the positive part? In Genesis 21:4, we read, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. Now again here, go back. Details are important. Don't dismiss detail. Every little detail becomes important, especially when God said so. Right? So we read in 21:4, at the second part of it, right? As God commanded him. Now, you see the word as again. As he had spoken, as he has said, as God has commanded him. I think this is important for us. See, sometimes we just don't know how to pay enough attention to what God has said. If there's anything that I have learned over the years, is that I need to pay attention to what God has actually said. And then go back to as he has said, as he has spoken, as he has commanded. Two parts. One is as he has said, promise. One is as he has commanded to be fulfilled. So two parts. Right? So when I want to really practice my faith, I must ask myself whether I'm fulfilling two parts. One, as God has promised, do I believe in that? That is a hope and a promise fulfilled, as he has said, as he has spoken. That's one part. The second part would be, as God had commanded. Now, this one is not a promise. This one is not a hope. This one is a strict command. That is not the same. Right? So many people like to think, all right, I need to believe, yes. But hope and promise are wonderful things. But what about the other part about God's command? Right? As God commanded. So if you take, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, go out, make disciples, and then instruct them. And then he tells them, baptize them. Well, that was part of the Lord's command. Now, we have to ask ourselves, have we taken this seriously? That is the part that says, yes, I need to have hope and I need to believe, fighting against unbelief. But this one, as God commanded, is not a question of unbelief. It's a question of obedience, not the same. And yet we are challenged to put into practice what we read from the scriptures. Right? So this is what God had commanded. Now, the idea of having a baby is as he had promised, not a command. But the circumcision part of it is a command. It is not a hope. It's not a promise. It is a command. And so we need to distinguish between what is a promise and hope and what is a command and fulfill both. They are different. One requires faith to believe, faith to hope, and then that faith is honored and the Lord blesses with fulfillment. The commandment of God also requires faith, but this time it is faith to obey. Faith to do what God has commanded. And we need to have both. The central thing is still faith, but faith to believe for what is to come and faith to practice for what has been said. And we need faith to have the both. And Abraham remembered this. Right? Now, he may be old already, 100 years old, but his mental faculties are still pretty sharp. Right? So he goes back and remembers what God has said. He remembers what God has commanded, and he was going to fulfill this. Now, of course, it's going to be a little painful for a baby 8 days old, and yet, beyond pain, there was obedience to God. And this is important. Well, and so the Lord said, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. You see, once circumcised, it is a permanent thing. Right? Anything that is excised from the body, you cannot put back. It's a permanent sign. It's a permanent feature. It's an everlasting thing. That is what we are looking at. So we have to be challenged in our hearts to ask ourselves, do I know what God has said? Do I believe in what he has said concerning the future, concerning a hope in him? That kind of faith must be exercised. Now, there is another part. And that part of it is a fulfillment of what God has commanded. Well, let's take a look at this very, very much. Now, Sarah, on her part, she had learned her lesson. At first, when the Lord spoke to her about her, Sarah laughed. And she denied, no, I did not laugh. And the Lord said, you did laugh. End of story. And of course, Sarah couldn't argue on that. But that was a laughter of unbelief. Now, Sarah has grown further. Right? Her faith has improved. It has increased. And now she was able to say, God has made me laugh. And all who hear will laugh with me. This is no longer a laughter of unbelief. It is a laughter of joy. It's a laughter of happiness. It is a laughter of understanding. It's a laughter of faith fulfilled. It's a laughter of gladness that God has given. And so she had to say, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? I have borne him a son in his old age. It was a joy of childbirth. It was a joy that would come only after faith has been applied. And so we have to ask ourselves today very much, how do we read God's word? And I hope that you will understand this. Every time we read God's word, let there be faith inside us, because faith generates, the word of God generates faith. And that faith very often is in things yet to come, yet to be fulfilled. We must exercise that faith. That is the important part of it. Right? This is something that we don't want to take for granted. But then there is a second part. And that second part is faith is required to obey God in what he has taught and what he has given as a commandment. So there is your present and there is your future. Right? So there are certain commandments that ought to be fulfilled. That's in obedience. There are commandments or there are words of God which are given to us where we are asked, where we are challenged to exercise our faith and our trust in him. And we need both aspects. One, to believe in what God has said and what God has spoken. Two, in understanding what God has said and spoken, we obey. And if we can have the both, then we will be walking in the footsteps of Abraham and Sarah. And that would be a wonderful kind of faith that we all can actually enjoy. Let us be challenged to not just read the stories with interest, with understanding, but also with faith, with hope, and with a desire to obey what God has said in his word. That our faith will become strong, our faith will become relevant, our faith will become vibrant, and we would be the better because we have understood, we have hoped, and we have fulfilled what God has called, call us to perform by way of obeying His commandments. And if we can have the both aspects done, then our life would be so much richer, so much better off. Let's pray for this kind of faith. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this word you have given to us. We thank you that we can look at your word, understand it, and talk about having faith in a future and faith that is going to be expressed in obedience as well. We pray that you would bless us as we ponder all these things. Help us to desire a faith that is practical and that is also powerful and full of promise. We pray for gladness of heart as we fathom all these things. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.